Welcome to Marvel Champions Podcast, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game. I am your host, Scott, and with me as always, my co-host, Ryan.
That's right, and we're here to talk about your favorite girl.
She's pretty cool. But is she the hero that we wanted? The psionic hero that we all wanted?
Or is it the psionic hero that we deserve?
I don't know. Guess you'll have to listen to find out, Ryan.
Oh, man.
I guess technically you need to do some of the talking.
So oh, yeah. I guess that's how that's how podcasts work.
Podcast.
Let me write that down real quick.
Talk on podcast. Okay. Noted.
All right. Good. All right. So I think we both thought when we initially were previewing her, that she had a couple of interesting interactions, and she seemed like she was going to be fairly strong. Did we hit the mark on that?
I felt like Psylocke, from a community standpoint, you know, a lot of the heroes come out as pairs now.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like she got the short end of the pairing, community-wise. Okay. I feel like our other hero that we'll talk about in a future episode of Angel, I think, got a little more community love.
The community loves that angle.
Yeah, the arched angle. yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll flush out some of my thoughts as we talk about her. I personally thought she did well. I don't think out of the box she was as good as I was hoping. But with some slight modifications, I think she was enjoyable.
All right.
How about you?
I just assumed because she was psionic that she's going to be good.
This isn't a Mystic traded character, Ryan. Come on now.
Everyone thought that psionic was the new Mystic, but I don't think there's any group that can overcome Mystics and their powerhouse-ness. Yeah, I think she has some fun interactions. She's not, after playing with her, she's not a huge heavy hitter.
Mm-hmm.
But she's very versatile, I felt. And she is the confused hero of Marvel Champions.
Okay. Hot take.
She's got a couple cards that allow her to confuse. She's got an upgrade that confuses, and she has a defense card that confuses.
Her attack event confuses.
And her attack event confuses. Yep. So.
Yeah. So you got multiple ways to confuse enemies.
Mm-hmm. So yes, Psylocke. Betsy, her recovery's average. It was fine. Her action, the exhaust one psionic energy upgrade and shuffle one psionic card from your discard pile into your deck. I didn't end up using that much in all my games.
See, I was gonna make the same comment. I don't feel like I've ever used it that much because I was always using the resource before flipping
exactly.
down on the upgrade, the psionic upgrade, psi energy upgrade. So it was exhausted and going back up to hero form. I had the bigger hand size for being alter ego, and I wanted to have that extra resource. I mean, I guess if you were like really desperate in a pinch and needed a very particular psionic card from your discard, but I just didn't feel like I personally used it a whole bunch.
Yeah, I could see the value with getting some cards, but I think the problem is it's just limited to one psionic card, and her upgrades, the things you want to get back very easily, are none of them are psionic.
Oh, and the other thing to point out is it puts it back into your deck.
Yes.
So you still don't see the immediate benefit.
Yeah. I wish it was into your hand, but yeah, just because it just goes into your deck, it just wasn't it just wasn't something I saw myself doing.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, but on the other hand, her hero side was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's where she can be versatile. Having either a 3-thwart or 3-attack is highly beneficial, depending on what those Psi energy weapons sides on, which is really nice for her.
Mm-hmm.
I think it made a few people relearn or focus on like timing of interrupts and like
yes,
how it manipulated the final value of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, timing of slipping her cards and things.
Yeah, her, you really have to focus on the timing if you're involving her Psi Katana or Psi Knives. It's very important. Or you can totally mess it up and not read the cards right and play her the first time completely wrong.
Not talking from personal experience, right, Ryan?
Of course, I would never mess up in Marvel Champions. But essentially, I didn't use the whole hero resource for her Psi Knife, Psi Katana. I mean, I used it to generate a resource, but I never actually, you may flip this card aspect of it, and I only flipped them after her hero interrupt would come into play. And so that caused some problems. But after I started playing it right, it was a lot better.
Yeah.
So I really like being able to just go like boom, 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 flipping in knife, katana, boom, 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 boom. I liked it. Very, very fun to be able to switch between it.
I think she's fun if you're that kind of style of player, because you're physically doing a lot of things, right? You're exhausting cards, you're flipping cards. You're very, almost like driving a manual car. You're very involved in driving. And it's not like Tesla. It's a
pretty
autopilot.
Good analogy. Right. Analogy.
So, if you're that kind of tactile experience of playing, and you're not like, I played one event, woohoo! She's a little more involved and can be a little more fun in that way.
Yeah. I mean, her hero hand size is 4. So, you really have to kind of plan your attack and what cards you're going to use, if you're going to use the card to try to pay for something, which card to pay for with your weapons, how is this going to work? And it was very thinky at times to try to navigate to do as much as you can with as little as possible.
So do you think that her hand size and additional hero resources balanced well, or did you find it kind of sometimes you felt like you didn't have what you need?
I thought overall it balanced fine. I think it balanced the same feeling as a spider, or however you want to pronounce spider. It hashtag spider
Penny Parker.
Penny Parker. I think it was a very similar aspect of that, where you felt like, oh, I don't have a lot of cards, but you were able to pay for those things. It seemed like that, but it seemed like a huge advantage when you were in Alter Ego switching into hero form, because you basically just have 2 energy generators with 6 cards. That's huge.
Right.
So those turns were really big. But once you stayed in hero, they kind of just mellowed out.
I would agree. I felt like you'd almost get like in a little bit of a rut if you stayed in hero form for too long.
Yeah. So flipping down, I mean, she does confuse a lot. So it does kind of encourage you to go ahead and flip down to build up for another turn.
Right. Utilize those confuses.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, but yeah, I think overall that initial kit of hers, I thought it was a fun interaction and very versatile. So win for me personally.
Yeah. Is she like the greatest? Is she the hero that I'm going to go for and grab every time from the X Force wave? Probably not, but she's definitely has a lot of ability for deck building around Psionic, I think. Which, you know, if you like deck building and playing some cards that only a very few characters in the game can play, she's definitely one that you can do that with.
Yep. And she's psionic, both in Alter Ego and... Alright, well, are most the psionic characters in Alter Ego and Hero psionic?
I think so.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool. Any particular cards that stood out to you from her kit?
From her kit?
Yes.
I liked her support. Training regimen. You exhaust it, and then you can go search for a skill card and add it to your hand. And then if you are in hero form, you do have to discard one card from your hand. But if you're an alter ego, you get to keep that card. I built a really fun deck around the skill keyword trait. And was able to go fish for a lot of cards. Now, I will say that with her skill cards, her kit skill cards, you know, they buff her up, and then they have like a hero response where you can discard them to do different things.
Mm-hmm.
My mind couldn't let me discard them. I don't like to discard them, but she wants to do those extra benefits and then go tutor them back with training regimen, but I struggled trying to make myself do those.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel the same way. I think they're pretty solid. They give you boosts, which is always a win, and their discard abilities are pretty nice at the right time. But yeah, sometimes it was hard to just let go of them and try to fish them back. But you can't really fish them back because training regiment only pulls from the deck, doesn't pull from the discard pile. So once you lose them, you kind of like do it.
Right. So you discard them when you're about to deck out.
Yes. Yes. You kind of save up for those, and they're not super expensive. I mean, you can afford them, but yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. The buffs aren't like amazing, but I think they're decent. She's got a +1 defense. Retaliate and ignore guard and patrol. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And then when you discard them, they one readies, one confuses an enemy, and one lets you ready your weapon upgrades, your psi energy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? You have a favorite card?
I do agree that training regimen is probably my favorite overall. Because it is very helpful. And like you said, you can build around that and really kind of pull those cards you need. And I love it when there's a support that's not alter ego specific. Love those. But outside of those, I like her psionic redirect and her telepathic suggestion. Which the redirect is the defense card. So you prevent damage, and depending on if you have the Psi Katanas or the Psi Knives, you can either confuse or remove or prevent more damage. And then the suggestion is the when revealed encounter card canceller. So you can either do damage to an enemy, which is cool, or you can remove threat and stop that when revealed, which is pretty nice. So I do like those two cards. The other two, her Thwart one and her Attack one, are just kind of, they're there. They're good. They're useful. Sometimes they feel a little underwhelming. You kind of have to prep for them, but
that's what I was gonna say. You know, she comes with three of each, three attack, her three big, quote unquote, big attack and quote unquote, big Thwart events. But I felt the same way. I just felt like they were not enough sometimes.
Like yes.
I felt like it's like, ooh, I thought I was gonna take away a lot more threat than I did. Yeah. Or it's like I confused the villain because it's the only enemy character out there, and I've wasted another energy. Granted, yes, you can scream into your listening device saying, you should have switched your psi energy form to make it more, you know, beneficial. And I did, but it just, when you do that, it's like, ooh, I took away 3 damage or 3 threat and, you know, dealt 2 damage. Ooh. Or I drew 1 card and did 3 thwart. Woo. Yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
I'm expecting maybe something a little bigger for my psionic card, a psionic character.
Yeah. No, I get you. You just have to prep for them and decide what you want. She's just not a big hitter or big thwarter all at once. She can do some here, some there.
She's whittling you down slowly.
Yeah. And I think part of that is her base stats can also be pretty high, like a 3 thwart or 3 attack. Yeah, so
right.
I think that kind of helps balance that out. Because for me, when I played her, I often found myself never wanting to be to defend. I always wanted to be up so I can attack or thwart.
Right.
Which I guess is probably what you want always with any character. But I mean, some characters can thrive off defense.
Sure.
Or need to do that. But for her, I felt like I needed to be up to be able to do those things.
So let me ask you this question. Did you feel that you always wanted to have 2 katanas, 2 knives, or 1 of each?
That's tough.
And I guess it's a little situational and scenario-wise, but...
Yeah, it's very situational. I think I found myself gravitating towards the knives a little bit more because they confused for the Fury of Blades. And I believe they confused for Sonic Redirect. So okay. I liked having that confused being sent out. And I tend to be more thwart based anyways. But I think her body swapped, her obligation flips the katanas to the side, or flips her psi energies to the katana side, and it didn't bother me that much. I was fine with the katanas because it just made me have piercing and be stronger. So,
right.
Did you have a preference? Is that why you asked?
No, I was just asking the question. I think I tried to play a little, I think, more balanced.
Yeah.
Knowing that I could interrupt a basic attack to get the either or that I needed for whatever the situation was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice having the option of a science and a physical resource if I had some type of requirement or something.
Gotcha.
Or some, yeah. You know, if you paid with at least one of this or all of this, it was a little more variety to make that happen.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think about her signature ally, Angel?
He's fine.
Yeah.
Two attack, 3 health. You get to ready. It's all right. I'd play him.
3 costs. Not.
What did I say?
Ain't no war machine.
It's not war machine. I think being able to ready is a pretty solid ability for any.
Her, right. Talking about her basic, you know, whether you have a potential of a 6 thwart or 6 attack in a single turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
For no resource cost besides playing Angel is pretty good.
Yeah. So I didn't think it was bad.
Since we're on Angel, what do you think about their team up card?
Oh, going for
I know you love the art of the card.
I love the art. I love the achy breaky mullet. It's so good.
I wish that would be the OP Angel card.
Oh, please. I would do anything FFG. Give me the mullet. Give us Angel mullet. Hashtag Angel mullet. I thought it was... To be honest, I don't think I ever played it.
Yeah. At least it's 2 cost, I guess. Is that an upside?
I mean,
you get to go get a discard pile identity specific event, but she can pretty much do that anyways. She does let you add it to your hand.
Yeah.
I guess you get the ready both of them.
I mean, it's if it works out, sweet.
Yeah.
Play it.
It's not the worst.
But I think Angel benefits it if Angel plays it more than if Psylocke plays it.
If you're playing the two heroes, not
yes, if another player is playing it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Because of the aerial trait, I think it's more beneficial if Angel plays it.
Could he could play with like the power of flight or whatever that card is that doubles the. Well, I guess she could do the same thing with Psionic. Her.
Psionic well, I was thinking resource. More of his hero's abilities.
True, an event that's aerial. True, true.
Yeah, so that's why I think if you're gonna play this, it would be better if you're Angel rather than Psylocke.
Okay.
But meh. Other than the art, I don't know if I'll include this in my decks.
Yeah.
So, do we need to? Did you have anything you want to say about the Nemesis Chimera?
Chimera.
I don't know. I think I've only saw her once come out in the games I played with her, and it was never devastating, but it could be pretty rough.
I'm just trying to look her over once. It looks like if you've got Psy Knives out, she gets a little stronger.
Yep.
Because she looks at the number of resource of the science resources on card you control. But she only has a health of 5, so she's not like devastating.
Yeah, yeah. Her attachment, I think, is the thing for me that's like, oh gosh. And that's a Psionic Illusion. The big thing about that is you have to name a resource type and then discard the top card. And if it matches, you're good to just attack. If it doesn't match, though, you have to attack a friendly character.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
But I like that. We haven't seen a lot of that in the game. So I like that.
Yeah, so I thought that was fun.
Looks like her treacheries are... Take X indirect, and X is where you use the number of science resources on cards you control.
So yeah.
The potential to be bad, or, you know, if you got two katanas out, it's not.
Yeah. Normal. Yeah. So there are two cards that I do want to talk about that came with her pre-con, her justice.
Okay.
That I liked a lot. And the first one is. Player side scheme, of course.
Oh,
and I know. But it is Lay the Trap. It's a justice player side scheme. She comes with justice, by the way. But it says, when defeated, the player who defeated this scheme deals 5 damage or 5 per player damage to the villain. That rocked. Every time I played it and got it, man, it hit so hard. It was awesome. I'm a fan of this player side scheme.
Yeah, that one was good because you could lay the trap and then just kind of keep it out there until you're ready to spring the trap.
Oh yeah, being able to just like flip the villain to stage 2 and then just like boop. Say 1 thwart and boom, now an automatic 5, 10, 15, 20 damage. Pretty nice.
Yeah. And that can come and benefit, like, especially late game. You know, you're like, oh, I need to do X amount of damage, but I only have, you know, I'm like 4 short. Be able to take out most of that with that and then finish it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to make sure. If you have a minion with guard in front of you and you thwart, lay the trap, and defeat it, do you have to deal the damage to the guarded minion?
You don't, because it's not
a tech. Well, okay. Well, first off, it can't go to the minion because it says to the villain on the guard.
Yeah.
But guard does not prevent it, correct?
Correct. Guard prevents you attacking the villain.
Yeah, and that's just dealing damage.
Yes. So the only cards you would that would negate this would be any cards that says, you know, villain X cannot take damage. So I think like Ultron, for example, when his stage 3, I think says while a Ultron drone is engaged with you, Ultron can't take damage, I think is the verbiage. So it would whiff.
Yeah.
Until
yeah.
you got rid of the drone.
Gotcha. Yep.
Or good. Well, I think then I played Thanos it right. does the same. You can't deal damage to him until you get rid of his like first little side scheme or something.
Oh yeah. So that was my first. Really liked that player side scheme. The second is Upside the Head.
Of course it would be. This card, I remember we were playing a game. I played Psylocke a few times, and I ran into the... I felt like I had so many confuses, but like my additional confuses were worthless. And I just felt like they were never hitting, or like I was like, ooh, I got one, but it just felt like I was wasting all these other confuses. And then we were talking about it while you were playing Psylocke, and I was like, I really wish there was this card where like my extra confuses would do something better, or I could do something when they were already confused instead of confusing a villain that was already confused, which you can't do. That's what like I felt like I was happening to me all the time. And then I saw this card, and you're like this? And I was like, oh, yeah, just like that.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. The first time I played it, I actually had two in my hand, and I played both. And so I stunned and confused.
Nice.
Like right off the bat. And it felt like I was Spider-Woman with pheromones. It rocked. So I'm a big fan of it. I will totally be using it for future decks. I don't know if I'll put it in every deck, but it's definitely one I would always consider with most Justice decks, depending on the hero.
Yeah, that one can be really good. And it's a skill card too, so you can go fish for it.
Yeah, yeah. With Psylocke, it works really good. So I think those were the two cards that I was most impressed with. There was another card. I haven't played it, but I think it's really cool and I want to play it. And that's Psy Flail Strike, the protection card that she comes with.
Okay.
And that one's a psionic card. And then after you defeat or defend against an enemy attack, deal 3 damage to that enemy and stun it. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty good.
So, any cards tickle your fancy?
So I built out this really cool psionic aggression deck, and I used the Psy Bow attack that she came with. That one says, deal 4 damage to an enemy, this attack gains ranged.
Mm-hmm.
And I paired it with her... she has a 0-cost event that she comes with called Directed Force. That said, when your hero makes an attack that has a keyword overkill, piercing, or range, that attack deals 2 additional damage.
Mm-hmm.
So her basic attacks gain piercing when she has a katana. So I was able to play these ranged for that one, piercing for that one. So I was able to pair that Directed Force with a lot of those to kind of just give that little bit of extra damage that I felt like she was lacking when I played her. And then it's also a skill card, so I could go fetch it if I wanted to, you know, to utilize that combo for that turn, even if I was in hero form and had to discard a card from where I drew the skill, I would at least have what I needed. Because the other thing is, it was a psionic card, so I could play that psionic Power of the Mind, and it was like paying it with it for free. Or I had a team building exercise, which helped out too. And in that scenario too, a martial prowess is a skill, so I could fetch that for setup, which would I could use the team building exercise and a martial prowess to make it free, a resource cost of 0 because of those two cards. So if I had multiples, even though I only had that 4 hand size, I felt like I could play almost a lot of cards that turn where I could use the resources from her weapons plus those setup cards to really be able to do more than just one thing.
Yeah, that's a pretty Solid combo.
Combo. I haven't put that in. I'll have to put it in right here.
Here. Yeah, I think Directed Force is a pretty solid little event that I think can help with several heroes. I think like Hawkeye, doesn't his bow?
See, that was I was gonna make a Hawkeye deck and debut it with you one time with this one. Yeah, because all of his arrows gain ranged.
Ooh, so, that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
It's a shame it's only max one per attack. It'd be nice to start just throwing those all out, but I guess for zero cost, you got to have some limit.
Right. You can like stack them. That would be intense.
Yeah. And the artwork's pretty cool on that one.
Yeah. It looks like Havoc and Magic and Cyclops.
And find what I guess assume is Apocalypse.
Apocalypse, maybe? It's a comic image, so you could probably Google image search it and figure out what it's from.
I think the one card I do want to get your opinion on, well, there's a couple I want to get your opinion on, but I think the one I want to ask about is IPAC. IPAC.
Okay.
I tried to play this card in a deck, and I ended up never playing it. I was never in the right situation to play it. And I don't know if you ever did.
Now, if I ever played it, it would just be to mess with you.
Oh.
Because the hero action is to exhaust it and then deal one face down and counter card to a player. And I would, of course, not choose myself. I would choose you.
Yeah, and
then
of course.
I guess you could draw two cards.
Yeah, yeah. I see the value of it with her because she does have the win reveal cancellation, if you're so lucky. But I don't know. I'm so mixed on this. I'm curious what other people have to say. Because drawing two cards would be nice, but taking a counter card for that doesn't sound as nice.
Yeah, I could see it in like a multiplayer game and counter cards not being as bad. But from a solo perspective, you know, that can ramp the difficulty of a single turn.
Yeah, maybe if you're playing with someone that has a Star-Lord, you just say, "I'm helping you."
Right, I'm making you better.
Yeah.
Star-Lord.
That one I'm very curious on. I've been wanting to play and get it out and try it, but it's never been in the right situation for me. And maybe that's kind of the answer I'm looking for. Is it's just not the right situation type card.
All right, I got a couple ally questions for you.
Okay, go.
She comes with two justice allies, Captain Britain and Cypher. What are your take on those two?
I don't mind Cypher. I like Cypher more that it costs two. The ability sounds really nice, but the fact that there's only two health just kind of makes it a one and done.
Yeah. See, I always found that like, I was able to confuse the villain, but then obviously it went away because of the villain turn. And then I would go to play Cypher, and it was about the only thing I could play. So I couldn't confuse the villain to make his response work, ever.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just an awkward card when it comes to its response. But for two costs, I would be more willing to play it. But sure. I think eventually, or overall, I would probably end up choosing like Quake or
Wiccan. Yeah.
For that two cost, low cost ally slot.
Yeah. See, I just, because I could never really get his response to work and his stat line being a 1/1, I just never felt like I played either of these, honestly.
Yeah.
Captain Britain, if you've got a lot of side schemes and a lot of minions, I could see some value in him. With him being aerial, you know, you should be able to discount him fairly decent. I guess potentially like a angel deck or something. But forecast for a potential to have, you know, two consequential for both of his thwart and attack action. It's just
yeah, I know other, like I've watched other people play and I've seen them play high cost allies. But there's just something innate in me that just does not like playing allies four or more.
Unless it's like Professor X or Nick Fury. Knowing that the benefit of playing them is going to outweigh what they actually...
Yeah.
Like what they do.
Professor X is three cost.
Oh, even better. See?
But yes, like Nick Fury, he is one that I'm more willing to pay because of the benefit it brings.
Yeah.
Whereas like Captain Britain, the way I look at him is I see... I look at their stats. And so best case scenario, you're looking at six damage, which is good, or six thwart, I should say. Six damage or six thwart, which is good, and a tough, because he's got three health for four cost. That sounds pretty good. It's just over time. It's not at once.
Right. And
so,
if you can discount it, I guess it becomes a more viable option.
Yeah, especially if you're able to discount.
All right.
So, I mean, he's got Ariel, so maybe you can do... like Angel and do team building and make him a little cheaper.
And the power of flight, I think is what that one's called.
And the power of flight make that really cheap.
Justice, you know, you could always do the power of justice too.
Yeah.
So there's ways to make him a little cheaper, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you think about Pete Wisdom?
I played him and I thought he was okay. I don't think I played him to his fullest, if that makes sense. I don't know if I can be a good judge on him.
Okay. Yeah, I think I played him once or twice. I thought he was okay. I think his stat line's pretty good. You know, we could go in that whole big argument about cost again with four cost.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was all right.
Yeah, his ability to heal is nice. I like seeing allies that have a way to heal outside of having to play like a first aid.
Right.
But I don't know if it's consistent enough for me to want to pay for cost and to try to keep him out.
Yeah.
But hey, maybe if you did Pete Wisdom combined with your IPAC, you could be doing a whole lot of things.
Yeah, because if you have multiple treacheries, you could heal him multiple times.
Yeah.
Because there's not an exhaust cost to his response.
Yep. All right. Any other thoughts on any cards?
Let's see. Trying to look at any of the other ones. Did you ever play her telekinesis or her telepathy cards? The one where you put them down and then you pay a cost. Usually it's like two science resources or two mental resources to do something.
I never ended up playing them. I can see their value, but I also don't see the value.
Yeah, I see. It's those cards to me. It's like if you're gonna include them, obviously just include one, and then if you have nothing else to put down, go ahead and put them down just to get them out of your deck to thin your deck out some. And then if you get to random spot where you're just like, I have a couple extra resources, I might as well do it.
Yeah.
Or maybe if you needed a specific amount of threat or attack to get, you know, a minion or a side scheme down to a certain number so you could overkill or use some justice card benefit to draw cards or something.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, oh, I got to play my telepathy and my telekinesis as my first upgrades.
Yeah. No, I feel you. The way I look at it is I take the cost of the card plus the cost of doing the action, combine them. So both are three resources for either three damage or two thwart. And that's not really great.
Yeah. And I think we were talking a similar situation. Like, we'll say an average game is what, like five or six turns, you know, six to be on the conservative side. It's like, am I really going to pay 12 resources to play this like every turn? Probably not. That's a lot of resources.
Yeah. It's, I'm sure someone is yelling at us saying, oh, it's amazing, but I don't know. I think there are other cards I'd rather put in the deck that this one just can't beat.
Yeah. There's a lot of two cost events.
Yeah.
That I could see playing over just doing a basic thwart or basic damage that could have some more benefit to him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where do you think Psylocke ranks in the, I guess at this point, the 4X Force heroes? And then where do you think she kind of falls over Marvel Champions heroes as a whole?
For me personally, I think she is probably in the low A, like an A minus.
Hot take.
I really like her. I think she's got a lot of positive things. I like how she plays. I love confusing enemies, and so she does exactly that. She fits that playstyle of Justice for me, with also some spicy attacks. I think there's definitely some things that would have been a little bit nicer, but I think overall her kit itself is pretty solid. So I personally enjoy her. If I had to guess, though, I think most people would probably put her in the B range.
Are you Psionic Ryan? Because you just read my mind.
I've been known to be a little bit of a mind reader.
Did you go talk to Clea? Not the Marvel Clea, the psychic Clea. Do you remember those old info commercials? Infomercials with Clea, the psychic you would call into? She'd be like, "Call me now." Yeah, and she could help you with your life problems because she's a psychic. Maybe I'll have to find that soundbite and put it in right here.
Call me now for your free reading.
Well, there you go.
I would put her probably in like a very middle B or even a B minus.
Oh, like, wow.
I thought she was fun. She does what she does. I think she has a potential to feel a little samey from play to play. You can definitely change that by switching up her aspects and the ability to use psionic traded cards and psionic cards that you can only play if you're psionic.
Mm-hmm.
Psionic trait locked cards, I think is what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Which can make her have a lot more fun, and it does give her the ability to kind of play a lot of different aspects. But I think for me, the other thing that kind of drives her grade down a little bit is I felt like she didn't have her events didn't hit big, and her upgrades didn't compensate for that. Like I couldn't like Ooh. Exhaust an upgrade and do this or do that to kind of compensate for that weaker event that she can have.
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from. I think for me, what makes her better is, like what you said, that psionic trait. If she didn't have that, if this just was like an Avenger that had a weapon that they could flip back and forth,
yeah.
I don't think she would be as good. But I think having that psionic and access to those cards does help a lot.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to land
can't
her.
Can't believe it.
It's a B. Yeah. Ugh.
This is an awkward moment right now.
Well, luckily the community is more on my side than your side.
Yeah, I bet people are probably more along with you. Because I totally get, like, her events don't hit massive damage and stuff. But I found them to be enough.
I could see her playing maybe better. Yeah, I played her solo and with you in a two-player game. I guess if you had more minions out, more enemies out on the board, where you could spread it, because I think that's where some of her event benefits lie, is the ability to spread. Because it says choose an enemy and do confuse, or choose an enemy and deal extra damage. But I didn't have those scenarios and situations to maximize that spreadness of her events.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So yeah, she's a ninja. She's jumping from one to another, and if you don't have that, it kind of does lessen some of the the positives of those cards.
Yeah, and that's just where I came from. I felt like I got the one benefit, and then the second benefit just kind of fizzled or got wasted, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I do think that she can work in all the aspects, probably leadership being the weakest. I haven't done a leadership with her yet.
There's one Sonic leadership card that I don't think I've really tried to utilize.
Yeah.
I can picture it in my mind because I'm, psionic, but I can't remember what it does.
But yeah, I think she can be pretty fun in most of the aspects. You can find something she can do and be effective at it. But fair enough. I get it. I get it. We'll just let the fans decide who's right. And of course, it's me.
Oh. We'll see about that. We'll see who has the hot take.
Hot take.
Hot take. So go vote on that poll. I'm open to this one.
You are?
Okay, somewhere. Cool. Yeah. Who's right? Ryan's A for Salak or Scott's B? And I guess I'll do like an other option and they can pick C or D. I guess hypothetically S, if that's a thing.
Are we both wrong?
Right. Are we both wrong?
Is she S tier, as we like to call her? I don't think she's S tier.
No. But that's your opinion. We respect your opinion. We'll disagree with you, but we'll respect your opinion.
I won't respect it. Get out of here. Or better yet, is it option A, Ryan A, or is it option B, Scott B, option C, we're both wrong, or option D, Angel's mullet's awesome.
Right, Angel's mullet's the winner.
There it is.
Well, we would like for you to tell us where Salak falls in for you. And you can reach out to us and let us know at marvelchampionspod@gmail.com. We would love to hear your thoughts on Psylocke and how she holds up in this X-Force wave. And as always, thanks for listening. And if you want to go from a chump to a champ, listen to the Marvel Champions podcast. Thanks.
Take care.